Morning. I would like to welcome everybody to Senate Transportation. I'm calling this meeting to order at 3 minutes past 1 o'clock, Tuesday, February 23rd, 2010. If you haven't already done so, please turn off any electronic devices. Thank you. Let the record reflect that with us this afternoon on my right is Senator Joe Passavant, and on my left is Senator Betty Davis. And I will introduce my committee aide, Sharon Benson. This is her first time, so we're all going to be ever so kind. Now before us, we have Senate Bill 272, Rental Card Charges. And we have with us Edra Warlidge from Senator Huggins' office. And if you'd just like to state your name and your affiliation for our record, Edra, and then begin giving testimony. And joining us is Senator Kevin Meyer.
Good afternoon, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to present Senate Bill 272. For the record, my name is Edra Warlidge, staff to Senator Huggins. Senate Bill 272 is an act relating to charges for rented motor vehicles, including cost recovery fees and making a violation of the rented motor vehicle charge provisions an unfair trade practice. This is a technical bill that would allow rental car companies to do in Alaska what they already do in 30 other states. Alaska law is currently silent on the issue of separately listed charges on rental car statements for the recovery of fees. This bill would require those fees to be listed separately and clearly identified on the rental car agreement. The industry standard is to turn over the rental car fleet every 12 months and to associate the costs of licensing the vehicles, concessions, and airport or facility-related costs with the vehicles themselves. In addition to government taxes and surcharges, rental car companies assess additional cost recovery fees to offset their costs. Consumers should be made aware and should be able to see the fees that they are charged on both the rental bill and in an online quote. This bill would provide full disclosure and transparency of cost recovery fees included in rental car agreements. In addition, the legislation would make violating the provision an unfair labor practice. And with that, I thank you for your time. I know we have some experts that are in the audience that could answer any technical questions regarding the legislation.
Did a very nice job of presenting Senator Huggins' bill. I thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I had a couple. How did this bill come about? Was there a complaint or a personal encounter? Could you give us a little history on that, Edra?
Sure. As far as I'm aware, in 2006, the Department of Law issued a business advisory to rental car companies because they became aware of rental car companies charging cost recovery fees. However, Alaska statute doesn't address cost recovery fees at all, so there's not an ability to enforce or to regulate or to dictate what a car rental company can or cannot charge. I believe that it's been sort of an issue within the Department of Law, and they've been interested in going forth with some legislation. However, it's been brought to Senator Huggins' office by industry themselves, who are here in the audience to testify.
Are there any other questions?
Is there anybody here from the administration that speaks to this?
I do have someone from the Department of Law online, and if no other committee members, if my colleagues here have any questions, I'll just move right to off-net. Ed Sniffen from Anchorage Department of Law, are you online, please?
Yes, I am, Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes. Would you state your name and affiliation for our record?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ed Sniffen. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law, and I am actually the author of the business advisory that Edra was just speaking about.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to give testimony, or do you just want to answer questions that the committee has?
Madam Chair, I would just briefly like to have a few minutes to make some remarks, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
We're ready for your remarks. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thank you to Senator Huggins for introducing this bill. And members of the committee, Madam Chair, always a pleasure to be able to testify. And I think, as Edra pointed out, this has been kind of a thorny issue at the Department of Law for some time. In 2006, we received a number of consumer complaints about the practice of charging a vehicle a licensing fee. And we did some research to see how other states addressed this, and we issued our business advisory based on information we had and determined that the recovery of a VLF could violate Alaska's Consumer Protection Act. And so we had requested that rental car companies include that fee in the advertised price. Not that they couldn't charge it, but it was deceptively like a mandatory government charge that was done on a per transaction basis. And I think Edra is correct that the law is a little fuzzy in that area. So I think this bill is a good bill because it at least clarifies what the law would be going forward. It gives us something we can get our hands around and enforce much more easily, and it definitely addresses that issue. So we're happy to answer any questions the committee might have about these fees and the types of complaints we've had. And with that, again, thank you for your time.
And thank you, Ed, and thank you for your time to testify today. And I saw a hand go up, Senator Passfan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's a pleasure to see you here today.
Oh, thank you.
What I am interested in is whether, if a consumer were booking online, whether the consumer would see a breakout of all of the charges, including these cost recovery fees, as part of the online booking.
Is that question?
I think that's addressed to the Department of Law.
Department of Law, we'll see.
Is that what they're intending?
Senator Passfan, through the chair, I have looked at the online bookings for several rental car companies in the past, and it was not clear to me in going through that process that those charges were immediately displayed as part of the fee a consumer would have to pay. You actually had to, pick the car you wanted. There was an estimated price, and then when you got a couple of pages deep into the transaction, you would then be told, here's how the price really breaks down. And I'm not sure how this legislation would affect the practice of how the rental car companies would advertise their price for vehicles. Perhaps some members of the audience might be able to answer that question, but it would be our hope that whatever they do, it's consistent, so when consumers get online and they look at these charges, they can compare apples to apples, so one company is not excluding it from an advertiser. Then it makes it difficult for consumers. So I don't know if that answers your question, Senator, but as far as I know, I think they do separate these charges out. It's just when in the process do consumers become aware of that is the real question.
Follow up, Senator Passman.
Thank you. From your perspective in the Department of Law, then what part of this bill would subject the rental car company to an unfair trade practice scrutiny?
Senator Passman, through the chair, there are a couple components of this bill that are, I think, attractive to us. The first part of the bill in section 450 that requires them to separately identify and charge for each cost recovery fee is going to require them to explain what each of these fees is. And that's going to have to be done somewhere in the process. Of course, the second part of the bill that says you can only recover those fees that are a good faith estimate of the actual fees you incur to license and title a vehicle are also important to the department because we suspect that in some cases, and this is just a broad generalization, and I don't have hard evidence on this, but that some rental car companies were using the VLF process as a profit center and actually making some money on that fee because it wasn't related to the actual cost of licensing. And I don't think that was broadly done across the industry, but I think in some instances that was what we were finding. So we would still work with the rental car companies to make sure that whatever advertising they did do would comply with at least the amount of the recovery, and then to make sure all the costs were itemized out in such a way that consumers were not misled into thinking that they were included in a price when they were in fact not included.
If I may, so I understand under 450 you say separately identify the charge, but I believe you indicated that there was a second component that you thought might be subject to unfair trade practice scrutiny. Did I miss that in the?
No, I think that's correct, Senator Pascoe, through the chair, and that would be that the fee itself was a fee that was estimated to only recover the actual cost of licensing and titling cars, or the actual cost of what the airport-related fee might be, as opposed to using those costs in some deceptive way to actually make a profit.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I see we have a couple of gentlemen here from the industry, and Ed, if you just stay online here for a minute, and I'm going to ask Edra if she would yield her chairs to these two gentlemen. If you'd come forward and state your name for the record and your affiliation, and maybe you have something to add to some of the questions from Senator Pasfan or Ed online off-net.
That sounds great. I would like to introduce myself. My name is Bill Gardner. I'm a regional vice president with Enterprise Holdings, which operates the Enterprise National and Alamo brands in the state of Alaska. I thought I'd start off a little bit of history about the company itself. It was started in 1957 as a small leasing company.
Allow me to interrupt you here.
Oh, yes.
And we'll have you also please introduce yourself and, for the record, give your affiliation, and then we'll continue with the testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senators. I'm Shane Skinner. I'm the controller and business manager of Alaska and Washington for Enterprise Holdings, and I can help out with some of these technical questions as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back to a quick history of our company. Started in 1957 as a small leasing company. It's still owned by an individual family, the Taylor family. Since then, we have grown to become the largest rental car company in the United States, and we operate four locations in Alaska, three in the Anchorage area and one in Wasilla, and I oversee the operations in Alaska.
Great. And I'd just like to add I think this is a great bill for consumers. It provides full disclosure at time of booking. And I think Edward's got some great examples of the before and the after of the bill, I think, to follow up with the Attorney General's office. It would require all fees and taxes to be quoted up front at the initial time of the booking. This bill has been embraced by the majority of states, 16 in just the last 3 years, again, for the benefit, I think, of the consumer. And to create equality within the industry.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any questions from any of the senators? Senator Pasfan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I understand, this bill is designed to address one component of what might appear in the bill, the cost recovery fees component. And so what if one was a consumer and on an online booking basis, what are all of the components that would be set forth that would be available to the consumer?
This bill, it addresses three sets of fees and taxes. It addresses rental car taxes and any types of sales taxes in the event that there were any assessed on car rental. It assesses airport fees. We actually collect airport fees, concessionaire fees for the airport authorities, and then remit those to them in the following month. And it also specifically addresses the vehicle licensing fee, which again we pay those fees to the states, and it allows us to recoup that cost. Any fees outside of those three would be prohibited by law if this bill were to pass. And I'll give you a great example. There's fees out there such as energy surcharges or documentation fees. This bill expressly states the fees that are allowable to the car rental industry, so it again helps protect the consumer against fees that might not, as an example, the energy recoupment fee. I'm not quite sure what that is, and I've been with the industry for 13 years.
Did you have a follow-up, Senator Pasfan?
Yeah, kind of thinking. So I take it then some of the competitors of Enterprise / Alamo then have a category that is called an energy recoupment fee.
Correct.
All right. And so if if I'm perceiving what you're saying, then those types of fees would now be illegal under Alaska law.
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
Does this give a competitive advantage to one business model over a different business model when one is engaged in the rental car business?
No, I believe it actually creates an even playing field for all the car rental companies. There's very, very few examples of companies charging unique fees, such as the energy recovery fee. So I believe this is actually going to create a fair and equal playing field for the industry.
If I may, Madam.
Yes, a follow-up, Senator Casper.
Is the cost of gasoline, that energy recoupment fee, then would that be just in the posted per gallon charge, that if you don't fill up your tank that you would be subjected to that, and then you would have on a disclosure to the public basis whatever that fee is, and one can make the determination in part whether you make the rental upon that information?
Yes, exactly.
Sort of connected with this bill, but could you share with us, please, as a committee, how expensive or inexpensive is it compared to your other states that you do to do business in the state of Alaska?
I believe the state of Alaska, in terms of for our industry, I believe we're one of the higher taxed states for car rental fees specifically, from all the states. So I would consider it, our cost to be much higher, and you can probably talk about the operational costs.
As far as the actual costs and fees, I would actually say we're probably middle of the pack. We don't think this is going to add any fees. This is just merely going to be broken out of the rate piece of the equation. So compared to Seattle, where the fees overall can be upwards of 30% with taxes and concession fees, we are significantly lower than that as a result. Now, we did in Anchorage, there was a recent building of a consolidated rental facility at the Anchorage International Airport. So there are additional fees to fund that, but I still believe that that our fees overall are very competitive.
Well, it isn't often that we get a couple gentlemen of your caliber, and so this is also a time for us to have an informational piece that, and thank you for sharing those, because I'm just sitting here curiously wondering if we are a good business partner for your company, or so. Thank you, Senator Pasvan.
Thank you. For example, if you in your business model have revenue sharing agreements, I take it those are not disclosed? In other words, if you have a partnership with someone else, and I don't know how the business model exactly works, is that making sense? Is there rebate information? Do you have any of those type of agreements in your business?
I'm not sure. Based off of what you're saying, I don't believe we do, but I'm not sure if you're saying, well, do we have a deal with, say, a hotel chain
or Expedia.
Or Expedia or something like that? I don't believe so.
Well, we do pay. We do pay commissions to Expedia, like an Expedia or a Travelocity. So there are commissions that are related to them, but we take that on as a part of a cost of doing business.
So is that all included within your rental?
It is.
Fee itself?
Yes.
Okay, so whatever goes on behind the scenes with you and any of the people that you partner with, that's all on your side of the fence. There's no...
And this bill would limit, again, what we can break out and charge as separate fees and taxes, and those aren't included.
Then one last...
Follow-up, Senator Pasvan.
Is there, if one were to be eligible for a discount, for example, if one were to book online... as compared to on-site, mm-hmm. Is that disclosed to a consumer? In other words, if you got online and you said, okay, the price is here, mm-hmm. If you show up and try to book on-site, not having booked online, is there a different price structure, and is that difference disclosed to anyone?
Posted rates?
Yeah, I would say that, Senator, that The rates could be variable. Certainly, if you go to make a reservation at a hotel, a week before the Final Four in a city, and you show up and you don't have a reservation, the price could be different. But as far as and maybe I'm not getting the question correct, but are you saying, are they going to be the same price than online than if the person was to show up at the counter?
In part, let's say somebody wants to book on the same day,
okay,
and they're on the airplane, they're going to land, and they want to just get online and book. Do they get a 10% discount because they book online as compared to walking up to the counter and saying, "I'm here"? In other words, is there a systemic discount that the consumer would know about?
There is no discount that I believe. The only discount on an online booking would be a result of not booking with a third party like an Expedia, where we're going to pay a commission. It's cheaper for them to book through our internet engine directly with our company. So there is a discount, a cheaper discount to book directly with Enterprise National or Alamo versus a third party booking agent.
So then I take it, if I may, Madam Chair.
Yes,
in other words,
up.
I take it then that ultimately whatever the discounting structure you have can be compared in your fee to your competitor's fee, because it all should ultimately be reflected on that particular day on a fee basis, your business model compared to anyone else's business model.
Yes.
Okay.
This bill, I think it's the Attorney General's office brought this up as well. It only allows for the recoupment of the actual cost that we pay for the licensing and titling fees. So as he alluded to, there probably are folks out there that have created a profit center for these fees, but this restricts to just the cost, again, protecting the consumer from excessive pricing or manipulative pricing.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask Ed, Mr. Sniffen, are you still on the phone? Are you still on off net here?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Okay, the previous speakers, were you able to hear them loud and clear?
Yes, I was.
Did you want to add anything to their testimony?
No, not unless there are further questions from the committee.
Okay, so we're all in sync here. Okay, is there any other questions? Okay, I'm going to close. Is there anyone else that would like an opportunity to come forward? Then I will close public testimony. There's no one else to... Do my committee members have any comments or questions at this time?
Has the administration taken a position? I understand we have the Department of Law's position, but has...
That's a good question, Senator Pasfan. Ed, are you still online?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Has the Department of Law taken a position on this bill at all?
Madam Chair... Not directly, in the sense that we don't really endorse or oppose the legislation, but from a enforcement perspective, it's our position that this bill provides some guidance to us to make this issue enforceable for us that we currently don't have in statute. So whether it's the best way to deal with this issue or not is something that we have not taken a position on, but it does, I think, advance our ability to know what is expected of rental car companies and to be able to make sure they're complying with the law, whereas our current law is just too vague for us to really take any action on.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear then. And so I'm going to ask the committee, what is the will of the committee on this bill? Do I hear a motion to move Senate Bill 272 from committee with individual recommendations?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would move that we advance Senate Bill number 272/A version from Senate Transportation to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations, and I do not believe that there's a fiscal note.
I
think that's the motion.
So then I would ask if there's any objections. Seeing none, hearing none, Senate Bill 272 moves out of transportation. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Madam.